There are entrepreneurs and there are super entrepreneurs. The leap is made entirely through intent and aspiration.
This is the Economics for Business podcast. We are here to help all businesses become champions for customers and value, improving lives with preferred and innovative products and services. We offer you the knowledge and tools to make your entrepreneurial journey a successful one. Now, here's your host, Hunter Hastings.
Hi, Hunter Hastings here. At Economics for Business, we aim to provide tools and content to facilitate entrepreneurship at every level, from small businesses and startups to the enduring and sustainable businesses that form the core backbone of the economy, and all the way to entrepreneurial innovation inside large corporations. The intent of entrepreneurs is always to establish and to pursue the imaginative, creative, innovative pathway to the improvement of the lives of others, because that's the same pathway that leads to both satisfaction and to profit. This mechanism provides the foundations of the ethic of entrepreneurship. Work hard for the betterment of customers' lives in order to gain a future reward bestowed by the market that you create or advance by doing so. The intent is always admirable. Sometimes it can be even more. Entrepreneurship is always about achievement, and sometimes the spirit of entrepreneurship lifts individuals and teams and firms to even higher levels of achievement. In a book we'll review today with its author, we get to look at the entrepreneurs bringing us private space travel, new forms of energy, new applications of robotics, even new forms of food. How do some entrepreneurs dream so big? How do they materialize those dreams? Well, there's a pattern, and there's a method, and there's a set of principles to follow. There are even worksheets and templates to help. They're included in a book titled Super Entrepreneurship Decoded: 5 Secret Keys to Create Breakthrough Businesses That Change the World. The author, Fabrice Testa, is a super entrepreneur himself. He has successfully founded, co-founded, and launched and grown multiple companies that have created hundreds of jobs and multi-millions of dollars in revenue. He worked and succeeded in space, in entertainment, in artificial intelligence, and in energy. Out of his experience, he created the Super Entrepreneur Framework, with cutting-edge strategies and tactics to materialize new ideas and build breakthrough ventures to solve big problems and to make a real difference in the world. We'll find out about it today. Fabrice, welcome to the Economics for Business podcast.
Hello, Hunter. Thanks for having me here. It's a great pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Well, it's exciting for us. I found a copy of your book, Super Entrepreneurship Decoded. And that's a very inspiring idea, because at Economics for Business, Fabrice, we think in terms of everyone being an entrepreneur. We think it's a great force for good. And you want more. You want everyone in business to think in big terms, you say. So we're going to talk about that expansive entrepreneurial thinking. But first, let's get grounded in terms of your background, because you've actually lived the super entrepreneur experience. So start by telling us about that, if you would, please.
Yes, sure. With pleasure. So, you know, when I was a kid, I was fascinated by space, science, and by all those people, great adventurers, scientists, adventurers, for example, like Columbus, who were not satisfied with the status quo. And they were bored to discover something new. And in doing such, I strongly believe that they were shaping the world by that time. And probably if we have the world today, it's probably because we had such kind of people. So when I was 10 years old, I didn't know exactly what I will do for my life. But one thing was sure. I wanted to be a bit like those people, someone who can shape the future. By that time, my passion for space was very strong. So in the early 90s, I graduated as an aerospace engineer. And I started initially as an engineer during 2-3 years. Working on large projects for the space and astronomy industries. And by that time, multimedia was booming. It was the early age of internet. And so I launched my first startup, which became the first company to install interactive touchscreen kiosk in the children's playground of McDonald's restaurant, We also deliver this kind of interactive kiosk for disabled and sick children in hospitals and clinics. It was a nice experience. And in 2005, I had the opportunity, after selling this company, to join a small team of entrepreneurs. And they had a crazy idea, and we will have probably the opportunity to talk about this, to digitalize the whole cinema industry. And what your listener have to understand is that by that time, the only media was still not digital was cinema. It was still in analog format. Mm-hmm. And the cinema industry was using tons of toxic 35mm print reels. And we wanted to replace all these toxic reels with digital copies. So finally, it took 10 years, but we succeeded. We digitalized thousands of cinema screens. We became one of the key players in the world, the first, the key player in Europe. We became a group of 200 people. We achieved 100 million turnover. We had offices all over Europe. And finally, we sold the company. And after that, I started a satellite service company, which was sold in 2015. And after the sale of this company, I had no new entrepreneurial project. So I did some investment as a business angel. I started also to coach, to mentor startup founders. It's by that time that I started to have this idea of super entrepreneurship. And in 2017, I met a young Dutch entrepreneur, and he came with a crazy idea to manufacture solar panels on the moon and in the meantime, from sand on Earth. And this led to the creation of Man Electric. Probably we will have the opportunity to talk later about it. So now I spend my time between that company, my other portfolio companies, my coaching, mentoring activities, and I wrote a book, Super Entrepreneurship Decoded.
Well, yeah, so that's just a plethora of big ideas, Fabrice. You're a big thinker, which gives us the opportunity to open the box of the book, Super Entrepreneurship Decoded, and Big Thinking for Entrepreneurs. You give a distinctive term to it. You say everyone should have a massive transformative purpose, or MTP. So talk about an MTP. It sounds like you've had several of them yourself, but how should the rest of us think about MTP?
Yes. So the MTP is the massive transformative purpose. It's a term that comes from Peter Diamandis and the Singularity University. And this is what gets you off the bed every morning, what motivates these super entrepreneurs and super achievers to dedicate one or two decades at either solving a big problem or for super achievers to, yes, achieve some big goal. And it's purposeful in the sense that it's able to attract people around it. So around the MTP, these people, they are able to attract others. It's also transformative because the world will not be the same after it. And it's massive since it's going to impact our daily lives, perhaps going to impact 1 billion people. So in order to find their MTP, your listener, they should go deep into their inner story. What were they obsessed by when they were 10 years old? What were their center of interest, their passions? Which big problem do they want to see solved? And if they do this, and I give some tips in my book, they can find their MTP. And super entrepreneurs are really, really guided by this MTP, which acts as their true north.
Yeah, that's very inspiring. One of my colleagues here talks about doing important work and making important innovations, and you can only do that if you have an important purpose. So that's a little similar to MTP. Is that available to everybody? Fabrice, we want everybody to feel like they can be entrepreneurial or be in an entrepreneurial team. Can everybody have an MTP?
It's a great question, Hunter. In my book, I focus on super entrepreneurs, or what I call superpreneurs. But I'm also describing other super achievers like athletes, actors, coaches. So I think that anyone can have an MTP. It's actually what motivates them in life, how they can be change makers If it's not, let's say, as an entrepreneur, it can be they can be a change maker, maybe in a community, in the workplace, in the family. So you don't need to be an entrepreneur for sure to have an MTP. But I think that to have an entrepreneurial mindset is something that can help anyone in any walk of life. And having an MTP is probably a good, let's say, tool to have a true north and to know where to go. Unfortunately, there are many people in this world that they don't know exactly where they are going. And if you want to super achieve in the life, I strongly believe that it's better to have, defined goals and maybe big goals. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it made me think about an innovation that we've been talking about recently, Fabrice, in the medical industry. We're all very worried over here about the bureaucratization of medical care, and you don't have a good relationship with your personal doctor anymore. And there's a new entrepreneurial movement. It goes by the term of direct primary care, DPC. But the point is that the doctor opts out of the Death Star of the bureaucratic healthcare complex and sets up a direct relationship with just a few selected patients who pay a subscription. And that seems to us to be a big purpose to improve that doctor-patient relationship and put the healthcare system in a different direction. So maybe one doctor can have a purpose like that, and then a bunch of doctors can get together and share ideas and make it a movement. So maybe you can do it at a small scale. It's still a transformational purpose. Is that okay to think like that?
Absolutely. I fully agree.
Yeah, good. Okay, so then your book is a system, Fabrice, based on your experience and your studies. So you say to achieve an MTP, we need to pursue crazy ideas. That's crazy as an acronym, C-R-A-Z-Y, and maybe you'll explain some of it to us, but tell us about that, getting from transformational purpose to crazy ideas.
Yes. So I describe in the book that in 2007, we enter into what I call the age of exponential acceleration. And why many things are much better today than in the past, what we see is an acceleration of some of the world's biggest problems. So just think, for example, at the acceleration of the environmental problems due to global warming. We have more floodings, more hurricanes, more wildfires. So what we see is that most of conventional solutions have shown their limits today. And I see my mission to elevate entrepreneurs, to become super entrepreneurs, to solve those big problems. Because I'm the father of four kids, and what I would like is that when I pass away, that the world is better than it is today. I want to leave a better world for the future generation. So I think that this will be achieved if we solve more of the problems that we have today. And how to do it is I do think by materializing radical ideas that I call crazy ideas. So these ideas are world-changing ideas on which superpreneurs are working sometimes one or two decades. And these crazy ideas have the potential for solving a huge problem. So again, typically it can impact the daily life of maybe 1 billion people. The idea is also using one or more breakthrough technologies like artificial intelligence, 3D printing, genomics, blockchain, sensor, robotics, etc. And finally, it's radical because it was never done as such before. It's a new way to approach a problem. And in the book, I have used the term crazy for a very simple five-step method, which is built around the five secrets of these superpreneurs and superachievers that I have decoded in the book. Basically, and I'm not going to unveil the method and the secrets. I prefer that your listener just buy the book and read by themselves. I think they will have the pleasure to discover the method. But basically, the method allows to formalize and give keys to anyone to materialize anything, starting from a big dream to preparation and realization. So that's basically what the simple model gives. And I talk with many people, you know, that say, yes, that's very simple, but the difficulty is to make it, let's say, to do it. And for this, I provide, and maybe we'll have the opportunity to talk about, but I provide worksheets to help people to try to put in practice, let's say, these secrets and this crazy method.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. We certainly don't want you to give away the secrets, Fabrice, and we will link to the book, obviously, on our podcast page. But
thanks.
Inherent in this crazy idea, you talk about a relentless sense of purpose. There's ambition, there's energy, and there's momentum. Tell us about that component, because the five secrets could be kind of a formula, but there's some spirit and energy behind it as well. Tell us about that part of the thinking.
Yes, I have observed that the superpreneurs are highly motivated by what they do. For them, making an impact, changing how things are done is the most important. And somehow the breakthrough company that they build, because, you know, I give examples of people, you know, that have built companies that are worth billions today, the breakthrough company is a byproduct somehow. So they also put the bar very high. They really shoot for the moon, and it's why this is called also a moonshot. So they work on moonshots. You know, some work even on several moonshots at the same time. But it's really this kind of project or venture, which is really something which spark, let's say, excitement for many people, and people are excited to join them. So yes,
yeah. So we think that's a big part of entrepreneurship, is that you can call it a sense of purpose, but there's also, you used a great word, there's a spark, there's something that's exciting, there's something that gets you up out of bed every day and keeps you driving all day. And we love that component. So thanks for bringing it out. Hey, you mentioned, Fabrice, exponential change. And that's a term you see used a lot. You also referred to the convergence of technologies that compounds the change that technology can bring. So we've got this roiling change of exponential speed. Often people look at that as a problem. It's hard to deal with. You've got to innovate every day. If we talk about continuous change and continuous organizational adaptation, we like the word adaptiveness, but I mean, that's very difficult for a lot of people. How do you give your super entrepreneurs advice about dealing with that rate of change, that speed of change?
Yeah, that's a good point and a good question. Thanks for asking. I have observed that almost all these super entrepreneurs and super achievers, they have what I call a master plan. So they have a roadmap which is going to guide them along their journey. And, you know, some they have a single sheet, some they use a mind map. But what is important is to have the big milestones. And they know, okay, what are the resources I will need? What is the kind of venture that I want to build, or what kind of accomplishment I want to achieve, etc. And it's important, and probably this is going to answer your question, that most of them, they stay flexible enough. So they pivot if necessary, they change their plans according to the reality, because yes, the world is going very, very fast today. But, and this is the particularity I would say of them, is that they are consistent also, and they strongly believe in their plans, because they face, you know, a lot of naysayers, people that say, yeah, you will never succeed, it's crazy, it's impossible, you cannot make it, etc. They move forward. If they have setbacks, but they continue. Why? Because they are motivated with this MTP. This is their true north. And each time they face naysayers or setbacks, they just remember why they do this and they just continue. But they stay agile and flexible enough, of course, to try to surf on the reality of this age of exponential acceleration. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, you did, Fabrice. I'm going to press a little bit harder just because we want to understand planning. So we're a bit skeptical about planning in that context of continuous change. So we talk about a strategy of, we call it explore and expand. So run lots of experiments because you don't know which one will work. And then when you find something that does, you expand on it. And that's a little bit different than strategy, which is kind of trying to control the future, which you can't do. And it's even a little bit different than planning. So I want to make sure we understand how you use the word plan. You said these super entrepreneurs stick to their plan, but they can pivot as well. So just help us understand how you're thinking about plan and planning.
Yes. So when I say plan is what I explain. Basically, they have a master plan. They know the big steps that they need to achieve. Okay. Now, of course, a detailed planning probably doesn't make sense. What I see is that most of them, they also do a retro planning. So for example, they have their big goals and they say, okay, if I want to be there in 2 years, where should I be in 1 year, in 6 months, in 3 months? Okay, this week, what are the actions that I need to take today if I want to be closer to my goal? This is what I mean by planning. It's not, you know, to try to have an extensive planning or a Gantt chart, etc. Yes, probably this is going, you know, in after 1 month, it's already not accurate anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And also to maybe explain, I can give you an image. For example, let's imagine someone wants to go to point A to point B. Okay, I would say superpreneurs, initially, they want to go from A to B and they draw a simple straight line. Okay. But if ultimately there are hundreds of circles and lines, it doesn't matter until they get to point B. They are relentless and resilient until they go to point B because, again, they know it's important to achieve their MTP. The difference maybe with some people that are not these kind of super entrepreneurs or super achievers is that they start from point A, they face setbacks, and they go back to point A, or they go to a point C, or they take another route, which leads them to a point C or a point D. The super achievers, they maybe take multiple routes, but at the end, they succeed and they achieve to point B, where they wanted to arrive. And I think it's what makes them quite unique.
A quick note. Did you know that we provide supplemental materials for each podcast? Listening to and understanding the key takeaways from our expert guests helps you think better about building a more beautiful business. Taking direct action and implementing these strategies is when the real work begins. Take a concrete, immediate step to implementing a better business model today by downloading the show notes and business tool we've created for this episode. Visit Mises.org/E4BPod. That's Mises.org/E, the number 4, the letter B, P-O-D, and click on today's episode. Now, back to our interview.
Good. That's a great image. I can see that in my mind. So you painted it very well. We talk a little bit, Fabrice, about the entrepreneurial journey. And it's a similar concept. We know where we want to get to, but you might not get there in a straight line, as you said very well. And
yes,
there's a fancy word for that, which is recursive, which means you can step back and then step forward again, or as you say, go sideways or go in circles. But eventually, you're going to get there. That's the nature of the journey. Good. So something else that we focus on a lot, Fabrice, you haven't mentioned yet, but it's been implied, is the role of the customer. And
yes,
we think a lot in terms of the customer creating the value, and the entrepreneur facilitates it. It helps the customer to have that experience. I'm sure that's embedded in your MTP. You're trying to help people, help customers, and so on. Tell us how you're thinking about customers and studying customers and listening to customers fits into this process.
Yes, I'm a strong believer that when you build a company, a business, you need to have customers, and as early as possible, it's the best, I do believe. And So I think it's very important to talk to customers. And one thing that I see often with most entrepreneurs that start with an idea, they don't talk enough and they don't try to validate their assumptions. It's something that I always repeat when I mentor and coach, validate your assumptions. Mm-hmm. So I have a couple of advice that I give to some to startup founders. The first one is what I call the coffee shop method. So go to the local Starbucks with your laptop or a notebook. You offer a coffee to someone and you say, and you ask, look, can you spend 5 minutes or 10 minutes with me? I want to explain you what I do and just tell me what you think about. And this is really, really very working very well because in 5-10 minutes, you can get a feedback from a potential user, you know, of what you want to do. Or maybe, you know, the people just in the street, they have generally a very good sense, so they can give you a good feedback. Another tip is using the consultative mode. You call some potential customers, you say you are doing a study for a university, or you tell the truth that you are starting a company, you have an idea, you see them as experts in their industry, and you have a few questions for them. And ask them when was the last time they used such kind of products or services. How do they do today? What are the current issues? How much would they pay, etc.? And to be honest, after a few calls or a few talks in a coffee shop, generally, you can get a ton of valuable information and fine-tune the solution so that it really meets the unsatisfied needs. So really, to have customers to play with the products, to try the products, or at least that they can validate the assumption, for me, that's really, really important as early as possible in the entrepreneurial journey.
Well, that's very cool. The Starbucks method, I like that. That's something we can all adopt.
Yeah, it's cool, and you can have fun, by the way.
Yeah. Cost you a few cups of coffee, but other than that, that's free research.
Yeah, maybe you can have a tea or some water to don't drink 10 coffees during
not one of those $10 lattes.
Yeah.
So I got another term from your book, Fabrice, that I want to understand. And you said that we've got the MTP, we're listening to our customers, we're making progress. You said we should make use of, I think that's how you phrase it, or maybe it's fit in with, the zeitgeist of the time. So that's not a word that we use a lot over here, and I wasn't 100% sure how to interpret it. So tell us about the zeitgeist and how we make use of it.
Yes, it's a word that, I use in the book. And again, I leave maybe listener to read my book and to know more about this. But this is all about timing. So if you launch a new solution on the market, generally either you are too early and you will need a lot of cash, or you are too late and then it's over. So good timing is really critical. And I have observed that super entrepreneurs and even super achievers, they have an ability to understand about good timing. And this is basically what is behind this notion of zeitgeist. And in the book, I give some tips related to that. So that's really about sensing, let's say, what is hot, what is the mood of the times, what is the good timing, etc. And they have an ability to really do this. Now, if naturally someone is not, let's say, doesn't have this kind of ability, I give again some tips maybe to help in that respect.
Good. Good. That's really helpful. Is it instinct, do you think, Fabrice, or is it some kind of analysis, like trend analysis that used to be very popular? Can people learn it, do you think?
Yes, I think that people can learn, and I give again in the book some tips for that. Probably that some entrepreneurs, they naturally have these kind of things that instinctively they do it, but I think there are some ways, some tools to do it. Yes.
Okay, good.
More analytical, let's say, analysis. Yes.
Okay. So that gets us to another area that we we discuss a lot. I don't think we have answers necessarily, Fabrice, and maybe okay. your point of view. And that's this idea of the entrepreneurial mindset. I think you may have used that word, but that tends to imply there's special people with a special bent for entrepreneurship. And like you said, the instinct for timing. So I'm sure your super entrepreneurs have a super entrepreneurial mindset. But again, is that going to be available to everybody? Can I develop that mindset, or am I locked out if I don't already have it?
Look, Hunter, I think that's a difficult question. I think that some people are naturally born and educated with an entrepreneurial mindset. So to be curious, to try new things, to take their chances, somehow to take some risk. And those people, I do think they have an ability to become entrepreneurs. Now, the basic of entrepreneurship, so learning the tools and frameworks like the business model canvas, the customer discovery, the business modeling, etc., this can be teach to anyone, for sure. But can we teach someone to be more curious, more adventurous, more risk, let's say, to have some appetite for the risk? That's a great question. Perhaps, and this is an open question, perhaps it's possible by putting such individuals in situations where they must show and exercise such kind of mindset or work with entrepreneurs, and perhaps that by capillarity they can change their mindset. The most important, I think, is that they give up with some limiting belief, because maybe some people, they have just limiting belief, and it's why maybe they don't have a great ability to be entrepreneurs, because maybe they just repeat themselves, no, I'm not good enough, I will never do it, that's not possible, this is too risky, etc., which are just limiting beliefs. So probably this, yes, it's really what limit them to really materialize their breakthrough potential, probably.
Yeah.
But working with entrepreneurs, it's very helpful. I remember that in my my very first job, the guy, the entrepreneur that created the company, was a great entrepreneur, and he was a source of inspiration, and probably I consider that he was a mentor for me, and so probably this helps a lot. Yes.
Well, that takes us to another interesting part, I think, Fabrice, which is the location of entrepreneurship in firms. So we tend to use the word as if it's one person or a founder or a small team. But really, if we want everybody to be entrepreneurs, entrepreneurship has to be able to take place in big companies as well, especially for innovations that require scale, which some of your MTP and innovations probably do. So this whole idea of energy and driving innovation and higher standards, big thinking, and so on. Have you seen that inside big companies, or does it tend to get repressed by the bureaucracy? What's your vision into the big corporations and MTPs?
Yes, entrepreneurship for me is not only for startups. It can be for corporates too. I think that what I describe in my book is also applicable for what we call generally entrepreneurship. And generally in corporate, what is required is to work on innovative projects to reinforce the current business model with incremental improvements. But I think what they should do more is also work on disruptive projects and initiatives where there can be some kind of exponential leap. And these kind of very disruptive projects are more what I describe in my book. And it can really help some corporates to prepare their future rather than just standard innovation, which generally is just to maintain their position in their specific market. So I think that entrepreneurship, for sure, it's applicable to corporate, and super entrepreneurship, and maybe this might be a good topic for a next book, is something which is more applicable for the corporates to for disruptive projects, really to prepare their future. Yes.
Yeah. One of the thoughts that we've had is that you could change the mindset of the corporation from improvement and innovation, which is great, but to creating new businesses. So if they thought like startups, that they're creating new businesses within their own business, even ones that are competitive with what they've got, that would capture the spirit of super entrepreneurship. I'm not trying to improve. I'm trying to create new businesses. That seems like maybe a mindset change that might help. What do you think?
I fully agree. I think super entrepreneurship inside corporates is really to try to create new ventures, maybe a spin-off, etc., maybe based on some research. And if you apply, let's say, the method that I present in the book, an executive can really also build a great business out of a corporate for sure. Like a spin-off from university to, I think the method is applicable for startup founders, but also for inventors, scientists inside in universities, executives inside corporates. Yeah. I think the method is the same. Yes.
Good. Well, you're right. That sounds like the next book, Fabrice. So you did mention this, and I said we'd come back to it. You provide in your book various worksheets. Maybe I can call them templates, because we try to provide some templates on economics for business too. And you advocate writing things down and working out your thoughts with these templates and worksheets. I know you don't want to maybe share too many specifics, but tell us about that idea that writing things down and putting them in these templates is helpful to move the process ahead.
You know, I wrote the book also with keeping in mind me as a reader, what I would like to see in a book, because I read quite a lot of books per year. I read probably between 50 and 60 books per year. So, and I like worksheets in books. Why? Because you can put in practice what you have just read and learned in the book. So I wanted to provide some worksheets in my book to help readers answer some key questions. And some readers today say that the book is an easy read, but answering the question is very complicated. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what I wanted. I wanted to challenge, you know, people and put them out of their comfort zone because, yes, again, I think the big ideas of the book are probably quite easy to understand. Now, to put in practice and to answer the question is something else. And you have to go deep into, as I said, your inner story, go deep into what you want to do, how you can do it, etc. What are your skills? What are the resources you can have around you, etc. To try to maybe materialize your dream, because, you know, materializing your dream is not something that probably you can do alone, and you need also to find resources. You need to think about the time. You need good preparation, and you need also to do a good realization. And this is again the worksheets are based on the secrets, and so I provide these worksheets to really help the readers to try to put in practice as much as possible. I have to say that I scratch the surface of many notions in the book, because otherwise, you know, the book probably will be 600 or 800 pages. Mm-hmm. And I will launch probably early next year an online course based on the crazy method that I present in the book to allow some readers that really they want to go to dive deep, let's say, into the notions. To really, go deep with the online course. So it will be on 12 weeks. 1 week, we will go on a specific topic. I will provide some online mentoring. So I think it will be a great complement to worksheets for the people that are really motivated and they want really to materialize either a dream or materialize a new venture.
Good. Well, we'll look forward to the course, Fabrice. Maybe you'll consider making it available on our Economics for Business platform, which would be...
Yeah, why not? With pleasure, for sure.
Good. That would be great. I know I find with worksheets and templates, what it helps me to do is you write those things down. You answer those questions. Maybe you put numbers in there. And it forces you to think, well, is that right? Is that point made? Do these things connect right? Is that consistent with something else over here? It really is a discipline for thinking that is, it improves what you've got. Even if you think you have good ideas, you can enhance them by forcing yourself into that discipline of writing them down and making sure everything is consistent. So we're fans of that.
I'm happy that you like it.
Yeah, good. Yeah, you and I are on the same page. So there was one other great piece of, it wasn't process advice, it was mindset advice. I think you quoted Michael Jordan on never succumbing to doubt. He said, never say never, because limits like fears are often just an illusion. And so is that part of the super entrepreneurship mindset? I mean, you could accuse people of being reckless or hubristic when you say don't succumb to doubt. What? Tell us what you're thinking there.
Yes, it's a good point. As an entrepreneur, of course, at some point, you can doubt. That's sure. But what I have observed with the superpreneurs is that they have a very high confidence that they will succeed. Even if everyone tells them that they will never work, that is impossible, somehow they want to prove that these people are wrong. And so they continue. And so they try to probably don't succumb to their limiting belief, to their fears, etc. And this is probably what, again, makes the difference with them. It's maybe why they are super, or why I coined, let's say, this term of super, because of this super confidence that they have that they will succeed. Yes.
Yeah. So let's turn that around and say, what are the barriers that you've seen, or maybe the most important barrier you've seen to becoming super and developing that confidence? I can think of a number of MTPs that myself or others have been involved in, and maybe we can't push it over the brink. We just don't have enough oomph or energy, or we don't have the right plan. But what is the barrier that you've perceived? Maybe the overcomable barrier that people worry about.
Yeah, it can be, of course, a lot of energy, but I don't think. I think that some entrepreneurs, they dream big. Or many people have big dreams, but they don't have plans to make it happen. So again, we come to planning. I think it's nice to dream, but at some point you need to know, okay, how am I going to make it? Others people, they elaborate a lot of plans, but they never do it. They get stuck, like paralyzed by the fear of failure. So they dream big, they have a lot of plans, but they never do it, you know? And what I see is that the super entrepreneurs and super achievers, they are dreamers and they dream really, really big. But they are also very good planners and builders. So they put, they materialize. And I like this term of materializing. We are talking in our world of digitalization. But I like this term of materializing because they materialize their dream. They just think, okay, how I'm going to make this happen, okay? And then they do it. And this is what I explain in my book. And again, the method that I provide is a five-step method to put in practice this.
Yeah, so I love that sequence of materializing. You go from big idea that we can all have to big plan to big action. You actually put it in place.
So exactly.
I love that. Well, we're going to link to the book, Fabrice. I certainly enjoyed it immensely. It's energizing and it's empowering, but it's also practical. And it's got, as you say, the worksheets and ways to do things and the five
Thank
secrets.
Thank you, Hunter. It means a lot. Thank you.
Well, so I don't want to put you on the spot, but leave our listeners with your one sentence, if you like, sum up of why they should read the book.
Yeah, I think if someone, let's say, has, again, dreams of a better future, has some wider dreams that that person want to be materialized, I think my book can help. Of course, it's not a guarantee of success, but I do believe that by reading my book, first of all, they will have probably some inspiration also by the stories that I put in the book. And I give examples of well-known people, but also people that are not known, let's say, people like you and me. And yes, and I give this this method that is very simple to understand that probably can be applied in all walk of life. So I think that by reading the book, they will get some inspiration and probably they will maximize their chances to be a bit closer to the materialization of their widest dreams.
Beautiful. It's Super Entrepreneurship Decoded. It's by Fabrice Tester. We'll put a link on the website and you can find it on Amazon and anywhere where books are sold. So Fabrice, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Hunter. It was a pleasure. Great questions. And I really appreciate what you think about the book and also what you do at Economics for Business. So thanks again for having me here. It was a pleasure.
Good. Thank you. We'll talk again soon, Fabrice.
Thanks a lot.
Economics for Business is a production of the Mises Institute. To explore more content like this, visit Mises.org. And for more from Hunter Hastings, visit HunterHastings.com.